Good morning and welcome to the Unity Presbyterian Church podcast. This week in worship, Pastor David begins his series on the seven I Am statements of Jesus with I Am the Light of the World. Let's listen.
Well, I came across a great quote recently that I wanted to share with you. It's by singer-songwriter Leonard Cohen, and he says this, "There is a crack in everything, and that's how the light gets in." I really liked that, because it's easy for us to point out the cracks in our world. It's easy for us to see the places of our world that are broken, but it takes a different perspective to view those cracks and those broken areas as the places that light can stream in. Well, we're going to be talking a lot about light and darkness today, because those images, those metaphors can teach us something central about God. And so I want to begin our time by just asking you the simple question, what is God like? I mean, imagine that you were sitting at coffee with someone and that person ventured the question to you, what is God like? What would you say? I mean, many of us can rattle off a couple of things right away. We would say something like, well, God is love, or God is generous, and God is all-knowing, and all of that is true. All of that is accurate. But if we really want to know what God is like, what better description can we get than from God, God's self? And that's exactly why we are starting this series about the I Am statements. Because these seven times in the Gospel of John, Jesus shares with you what he is like. And our first one today is how God is like the light of the world. And so I want to begin this study in John chapter 9 as we learn about God from his own description. So here's how this story begins. It says in verse 1, as Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Okay, I want you to envision this scene in your heads, that Jesus and his disciples are walking down the road together, and along the road they see a man sitting on the side of that road in the dirt and in the dust. They recognize this man. He's been blind from birth. We learn later on in the story that he has to beg to make a living, which is why he's sitting on the side of the road. And the disciples ask a question that was characteristic of first century thought in that time period. They said, well, Jesus, who's responsible for his blindness? Who sinned? Is it because of his sin that he's blind? Or is it because of his parents' sin that this man is blind? You see what they're trying to figure out, don't you? They are trying to figure out human suffering. They think if God is good, and yet this man was born blind, someone has to be to blame. And so in the first century, they chose to blame the victim. They said, well, surely he sinned or his parents sinned, and that's the reason that he was born blind. Now, we obviously know so much more today about our own genetic makeup and then the contributing factors that go into blindness or being deaf or some other disability, but they did not know that in the first century. And so Jesus responds very forcefully to their assertion that he is to blame for his condition. The next verse, when Jesus says, well, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. You see what Jesus is saying? He's saying this man is no greater a sinner or no less a sinner than you or I. He says, but to prove my point, I am going to show you the works of God through his life. Yes, this person that you assume must be a horrible sinner because of his current state, I'm going to show you the works of God working powerfully and vividly through his life. That is his explanation. And then he says this. And Jesus says, as long as it is day, We must do the works of him who sent me, meaning God. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So I return to our initial question. What is God like? Well, the first way that Jesus describes himself is saying, I am the light of the world. What does that mean? What does it mean that Jesus is the light of the world? Well, let's pause for a moment from our story about the man born blind and really explore what it must mean that Jesus is the light of the world. Let's look at the other parts of Scripture that speak about God being light. The first place we learn something about God and light is from Matthew. You see, Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew tells us this in chapter 4. Matthew says, Jesus came to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Now, Isaiah wrote those words long before Jesus ever came on the scene. But Matthew takes those words of people living in a land of darkness and says, that light that is breaking into the world, that light that is illuminating the world of the shadow of death, that light is Jesus. Jesus is that light that is breaking into the world. And so if Jesus is the light, which is the assertion that Matthew makes, then we must be the people who are living in darkness. I mean, we must be the people who are living in the land of the shadow of death. Well, there's this town in Alaska. It's the northernmost town you can get to. If you've ever been to Fairbanks, it's 500 miles north of Fairbanks. And in this little town, the sun sets in November and doesn't rise again until January. Can you imagine living in that sort of town where for 2 months there is no light at all? It is complete darkness. Scientists call this phenomenon the polar night, which I think are two words that should never go together. I don't think I would ever want to live through a polar night. That sort of complete darkness is not what Isaiah is talking about when Isaiah calls us a people living in a land of darkness. We're not talking about a physical darkness here. No, Isaiah and later Matthew wants us to realize that we are people living in spiritual darkness. It's not physical. It's something spiritual that is happening. And again, spiritual darkness, I don't want you to equate with darkness being bad or evil in some way. A lot of times when you think of darkness, you think, well, that's the opposite of light, so darkness is just bad. But that's not what Isaiah means either. No, if you are blindfolded, for instance, if you put on a blindfold and you can't see at all, it doesn't mean you're bad, it means you're lost. I mean, if you're living in darkness, it means that you can't find your way, that you have trouble navigating, that you are lost, which is what Isaiah means when he says that we are living in a land of spiritual darkness, that without Jesus, without the light of the world, we wander around to the best of our ability, and yet we wander around lost. These are the points that Isaiah wants us to understand as people who are living in a land of the shadow of death. But notice that the point that Matthew makes is not about the darkness. Now, the point that Matthew makes is about light breaking into the darkness. Another way to say that is that Jesus is illuminating our world. That is what this scripture points to. That Jesus, as the light of the world, illuminates our world of darkness. And what happens to darkness when light shines? It disappears. Darkness cannot exist where there is light. It's like light of a sunrise flooding over the hills and the mountains and illuminating the valley below. That's the sort of analogy of Jesus bringing light and breaking into our world that Isaiah is trying to share with us. And so the picture that you should have in your heads is not of a pitch black world, but it's a picture of light breaking in. You know, I was once on a 7-day backpacking trip, and it was going to go 100 miles, and it would go in a circle around the base of Mount Rainier. And because of a scheduling error that may or may not have been my fault, we didn't have a campsite on night 4, which you can't really do if you're going around in a circle. You need campsites all along the way. But we showed up with all of our gear. We were ready to go. And the ranger took pity on us. You know, the ranger sympathized with us and said, all right, there's no campsites available, but if you watch this video, and the video is called Leave No Trace, she said, if you watch this video, I will let you camp where there is no campsite, which for a national park was really a nice thing for her to do. And so we watched the video, and then we go and we camp where we're supposed to those first 3 nights. And the 4th night, she said, you're going to see a lake. And when you get to the lake, there's going to be a ridge above the lake. You hike up to the top of the ridge, go behind the trees where no one can see you, and that's going to be your campsite. And so we did just like she said. We got our tents up, we got everything ready, and then the clouds moved in. But what was fascinating was we were above the clouds. Our elevation was so high that the clouds were out below us. And then the sun began to set over the clouds. And I took a picture because I thought, this is beautiful. And this is the sort of image that Matthew's trying to teach us, of Jesus, the light of the world, breaking into our world. I mean, isn't it true that every time you see a sunrise or a sunset, you should marvel at how Jesus is the light of the world? This truly is what Scripture is trying to capture for us. Jesus illuminates the world that we are in. But it's not only that. We can learn even more. You see, one chapter earlier in John, Jesus says this, I am the light of the world, and if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. When's the last time that you drove out into the countryside of North Carolina, a place where there were no streetlights, no light pollution, where you really couldn't see anything at all because you were so far out there and you were very thankful for your headlights? When's the last time you did that? Because when you're driving on those old, dark, curvy roads, you need a light that can guide you, show you what's in front of you as you are making your journey. That's a little bit of what Jesus is saying here, where Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, and I can be your guiding light. I can guide you to real, abundant life if you choose to follow. Yes, I can be your guiding light. So I asked the children this, and I'll ask you this as well. What's the darkest place you have ever been? One interesting thing that happened when I was in that cave is they take you deep, deep down into the caverns, and you're looking all around and taking it all in because it looks like really a different world. And then at one point, the man said, okay, everyone just stay still, stay where you are, and I'm going to turn out the lights. And he did. He turned off his lantern. He turned off the little lights leading us down. And it was so dark that I could not see my hand as I held it in front of my face. I've never experienced that level of darkness before. But that's a little bit about what Jesus is sharing with us here, that you will go through times in your life that seem that dark, where you feel like you're stumbling around, you're stumbling through life, and you don't quite know which direction to go. And it's in those times when Jesus says, let me be your guiding light. I mean, if you're walking down a path at night, you need that flashlight to make sure you don't trip and stumble over the roots and rocks. Jesus says, let me be your guiding light so you don't trip and stumble through life's events. Let me guide you to real and abundant life. What do you think? Are you getting a grasp, a good grasp on what it means that Jesus is the light of the world? Let's summarize for a minute. So far, Jesus being the light of the world means that Jesus will illuminate our darkness and that Jesus is a guiding light for your path. So there's this man, and he's born blind from birth. And Jesus and his disciples walk by him and say, well, who's to blame for this, him or his parents? And in response, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And what he means by that is he means I can illuminate this world that we live in right now. I can be the guiding light for those of us that are stumbling through this world. Yes, he says, I'm the light of the world. And then, after saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. You'd think everyone would be happy with that, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd think this would be a time of celebration that a man born blind, forced to beg on the side of the road, can now see. And yet the religious leaders of the day were upset by this. They were upset because it did not fit into how they understood the world or how they understood God. And so they summon him and say, how did this happen? We know that you were that man who we saw born blind, and yet you can now see. So tell us, how did this happen? And the man kind of looks at them and says, well, I don't know. I mean, the man called Jesus came to me. He put some mud in my eyes, told me to go wash it off. I did, and now I can see. Well, they weren't satisfied with that answer. And so they summon his parents, because remember, who's to blame, him or his parents? So they summon his parents and say, how is it that your son can now see? Well, the parents know that anybody who acknowledges Jesus and what he can do would be kicked out of the synagogue. And so they look at the Pharisees and they say, listen, we know this is our son. We know he was born blind, but how he can now see? I have no idea. And they go, why don't you just go ask him? I mean, he's old enough. He's of age. He'll tell you, go ask him. And so our scripture says they summoned him a second time. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. You see, they think he's lying. Tell us the truth. We know this man, i.e. Jesus, is a sinner. And in their idea, their picture of God, if Jesus is a sinner, there's no way that he can be the person that brings sight to a blind man. And so they say, tell us the truth. How is it that a sinner has healed you? But little did they know that Jesus is the light of the world. And so this man who up until that moment could never see replies in this way. Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. This world can be a dark place, can't it? This world can be a place where you stumble around, you try to find your bearings, and yet there are times where you'll just feel lost, where you don't think you're heading in the right direction. And so I ask you, where in your life right now are you stumbling? Where in your life right now is it just a bit too dark to see? Friends, remember that Jesus is the light of the world. That Jesus will illuminate your world. That Jesus is the guiding light in our world. Friends, remember that even though it is dark, light is breaking into our world. And so may we share in the same affirmation as this man who shared it so many years ago when he says, I once was blind, That was my reality. I stumbled in darkness. That's all I knew or saw. Yes, I once was blind. But now I see.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.